Testimony Treasures, Volume 3, Chapter 11, The Work in the Cities. Oakland, California, April 1, 1874. I dreamed that several of our brethren were in council considering plans of labor for this season. They thought it best not to enter the large cities, but to begin work in small places, remote from the cities. Here they would meet less opposition from the clergy and would avoid great expense. They reasoned that our ministers, being few in number, could not be spared to instruct and care for those who might accept the truth in the cities, and who, because of the greater opposition they would there meet, would need more help than would the churches in small country places. Thus, the fruit of giving a course of lectures in the city would, in a great measure, be lost. Again, it was urged that because of our limited means, and because of the many changes from moving that might be expected from a church in a large city, it would be difficult to build up a church that would be a strength to the cause. My husband was urging the brethren to make broader plans without delay, and put forth in our large cities extended and thorough effort that would better correspond to the character of our message. One worker related incidents of his experience in the cities, showing that the work was nearly a failure, but he testified to better success in the small places. One of dignity and authority, one who is present in all our council meetings, was listening with deepest interest to every word. He spoke with deliberation and perfect assurance. The whole world, he said, is God's great vineyard. The cities and villages constitute a part of that vineyard. These must be worked. Satan will try to interpose himself and discourage the workers, so as to prevent them from giving the message of light and warning in the more prominent as well as in the more secluded places. Desperate efforts will be made to turn the people from truth to falsehood. Angels of heaven are commissioned to cooperate with the efforts of God's appointed messengers on earth. Ministers must encourage and maintain an unwavering faith and hope, as did Christ, their living head. They must keep humble and contrite in heart before God. Broader plans necessary. God designs that His precious word, with its messages of warning and encouragement, shall come to those who are in darkness and are ignorant of our faith. It is to be given to all, and will be to them a witness, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Do not feel that the responsibility rests upon you to convict and convert the hearers. The power of God alone can soften the hearts of the people. You are to hold forth the word of life, that all may have an opportunity of receiving the truth, if they will. If they turn from the truth of heavenly origin, it will be their condemnation. We must not hide the truth in the corners of the earth. It must be made known. It must shine in our large cities. Christ, in His labors, took His position by the lakeside and in the great thoroughfares of travel, where He could meet people from all parts of the world. He was giving the true light. He was sowing the gospel seed. He was rescuing truth from its companionship with error and presenting it in its original simplicity and clearness, so that men could comprehend it. The heavenly messenger who was with us said, "Never lose sight of the fact that the message you are bearing is a worldwide message. It is to be given to all cities, to all villages. It is to be proclaimed in the highways and the byways. You are not to localize the proclamation of the message." In the parable of the sower, Christ gave an illustration of His own work and that of His servants. The seed fell upon all kinds of soil. Some seed fell upon poor soil, yet the sower did not therefore cease his work. You are to sow the seeds of truth in every place. Wherever you can gain access, hold forth the word of God, so beside all waters. You may not at once see the result of your labors, but be not discouraged. Speak the words that Christ gives you. Work in His lines. Go forth everywhere as He did during His ministry on the earth. The world's Redeemer had many hearers, but few followers. Noah preached 120 years to the people before the flood, and yet there were few who appreciated this precious probationary time. Save Noah and his family, not one was numbered with the believers and entered into the ark. Of all the inhabitants of the earth, only 8 souls received the message. But that message condemned the world. The light was given in order that they might believe. Their rejection of the light proved their ruin. Our message to the world will be a savor of life unto life to all who accept it, and of condemnation to all who reject it. The messenger turned to one present and said, "Your ideas of the work for this time are altogether too limited. Your light must not be confined to a small compass, put under a bushel or under a bed. It must be placed on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that are in God's house, the world. You must take broader views of the work than you have taken."